Hey friends, I'm Naomi and glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives leave their soul-sucking jobs so they can earn a living doing what they love and live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and how they got to where they are today and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Welcome back, friends. I have Anita with me today, and I'm excited to bring this conversation to you because there's going to be a lot of just nuggets of information that we can all learn from. And so to get started, Anita, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Anita Dambavari. I am a coach. I help socially conscious millennials curate their ideal self and stop settling for mediocre life.
That's awesome. So are you, I think if I remember right, you're based in Colorado.
Yes, I live in a town called Littleton. It is just south of Denver on the foothills.
Yeah. And I grew up in Colorado for the most part in Loveland. So I'm very jealous when I meet other people that are still there enjoying the mountains and all that there is going on there. So that's nice to connect with you.
Yeah. Because I get jealous that you get to be by the beach and eat all the Thai food.
Yeah. We'll have to swap a trip sometime or something.
Yes. So,
yeah. Good.
Home swap.
Yeah. So with your work as a coach, what kind of brought you to this place of wanting to support other people on their journeys?
Well, I grew up with immigrant parents that were very hard workers, but they were they're a little bit better now, but they were not very emotionally available. And I don't know if you know much about some Eastern European cultures, but they can be quite like driven and not pay a lot of attention to what's going on internally and not really accept weakness. So I did not get a lot of support in that way growing up. And I have had OCD my whole life. So no support in childhood. When I could find a therapist, I did on my own because I really wanted to fix myself. I wanted to get better and improve. So I read a lot of self-help books. I put myself into therapy. I thought eventually I would also want to become a therapist because it did help me so much. And then I heard about life coaching and I'm like, oh my gosh, that is where I want to be actually, because it's so much more of the positivity based change versus dwelling in like, okay, this and that happened. And then where do we go from there? Like you can only repeat the painful stories so many times before you're like, okay, now what? I'm good. Like I forgive it. It's all good. Where do we go? So I ended up getting my own life coach at one point. She was a money coach and her whole deal was the law of attraction. And I really just love that concept that we can change our circumstances by what we think about life, and that changes our feelings and our actions. And we start to see more of those same positive things in our life rather than dwelling on the negative or what might be painful. But we still need to accept those, of course. So there's a balance where it's like, yes, I accept the negative, but I also really want to be a positive person and see more of that play out in my life. And I like to do that for other people as well and let them know that, hey, change is possible.
Yeah.
So it's a long-winded answer for how I got here.
That's awesome. Because I have a similar thing. I always thought I would go into counseling after teaching. And then when I found about life coaching as well, it was more, oh, I would much rather move people forward. Not like counseling isn't, but it's just a different method of moving people on their journey and stuff. And so I like the more action-based kind of stuff that I think we can do in coaching. So yeah,
me too. I just love like, okay, like let's accept everything and then what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get to it. So so that's really interesting, just like going back into your childhood, right? Because I think we all come to a place where like, that's interesting, why do I do this, why do I do that, you know? And you're like, well, it stems from my childhood. And so unpacking some of that can be painful. It can be freeing. It can be just all sorts of emotions and feelings, and it can change relationships sometimes, right? Because we are like, I'm not doing that anymore, or
yes.
accepting that. Yeah. So like, as you were, you know, working with your coach, working on yourself, like reading books and all this, what are some major, maybe pivotal things in your life that changed for the better?
I mean, there were a lot of pivotal moments throughout my life. When I was younger, I think I coped with my feelings in the way that was easy and acceptable, which was like partying and taking drugs and drinking alcohol. And I had seen a few really negative things happen throughout that time because of that. And there was this one pivotal moment where I always had like these rules, like, okay, I'm not going to take it this far. Like, I'll do these things a lot, but I'm not going to do that thing and that thing. And then one day I went over to a friend's house and all my friends were there and some other people. And I walked in the door and I just see all these people. I think they were huffing paint cans or like that computer cleaner. Mm-hmm. And I just looked around and I was like, oh my God. And I didn't say a word. And I closed the door and I left. And I went home. And I told my mom, I want to change schools. Like, I'm done. And it was like, just something went off where I'm like, this is the path. If I choose to stay in this house right now, like, I don't want to be this person. So that was a pivotal moment for sure. Getting a coach was a pivotal moment for me to realize, okay, there's another way to go about life and problems, and it doesn't have to be super painful. Like, I think that painful part of life is so necessary, but then not to dwell in that.
Mm. Yeah. And that is a hard place to be, right? It's like, but I mean, kudos for you for seeing that and like making a new way, because that was probably your friend group. And so it's like, not only are you choosing not to walk down that road, but then it's, I don't know, could be a lonely road because you no longer have friends by your side as well. Like, so you're navigating that circle as well. And at least that's what I found. Like, anytime I make different changes, that friend or support group then changes as well. And so you're navigating not just the internal change within yourself, but also the support around you. And so that takes a lot of courage.
I cut everything off at that point. And I don't know if that was just like dumb luck or a higher power or what it was, but it was just like a lightning bolt went through me. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Turn this car around.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So as you journeyed on, and now that you're working with other people, what are some of the biggest kind of hurdles that you find people are dealing with now in their lives?
I think a big thing that people struggle with is realizing that what you see right now is not what you have to be. Mm-hmm. And it's not the way you have to think and feel. Like, humans are so adaptable. It's incredible. And you really can 180 your life if you want to, and you really have a good reason for doing so, and a passion and drive behind it. So I think that that's something that people really struggle with, is seeing outside of their current perspective, which is why coaching is so powerful, because you have somebody digging in there with you mm-hmm. and bringing things out into the light and questioning, like, well, is this true? Is that true? And then, like, people can have these amazing ahas, like, oh my gosh, I don't even know why I was thinking that. Like, of course it's not true. It doesn't have to be true. And they start to see little glimpses of possibility that they didn't see before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a powerful work, especially if you are going through a hard season and you can't see it for yourself, having somebody there just to kind of shine a light on what mm-hmm. is possible again. Or like you said, that, you know, little split second of like, oh, that's out there, and then let it grow from there. So
yeah,
it's powerful.
Another thing I try to convey to people is that, like, if you want anything in the world, it could be any example. I want to have $1 million. I want to be very fit. I want, you know, clear skin, beautiful hair. Like, mm-hmm. there is someone who has those things, who sees that every day and accepts that as reality. And there's really no reason that you cannot switch your mindset to that of success and start to believe those things. And then you start to see evidence of that in your life as well. When you believe that that is possible and that can be true, even if it's not super true in the moment, you can get there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that I've been struggling with, because I'm dealing with loss and grief, you know? So it's like, well, when I hear that stuff from when I did maybe 6 months ago, I'm like, that's BS, because I can't have everything I want. Right? Like, but I can change the way I think about it, and I can forge a new path, even with life not going according to plan or what I thought, because there are, I think, some situations that we don't all get what we want. I mean, if that were the case, I wouldn't see poverty. I wouldn't see suffering, you know, but then I think that we could come back from it and forge a new way of thinking about it, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, that's where the work is, right?
Yeah. And that is something I maybe struggle to convey very well, as, and I realize that when people are in the depths of a issue, they hear something like that and they're like, oh, mm-hmm. shut up. That's just ridiculous. Yeah. And I did feel that way at one point too. And truly, my law of attraction coach really helped me to, over time, I mean, it was over time that I started to see evidence of, like, oh, this might actually have a lot of validity to it. And yes, there are things that, like, maybe you cannot change, but there is so much within our control. It's mm-hmm. incredible.
Yeah. 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 And I think that's the thing too. Like, one thing that I've thought about is, like, come back from the setback, right? So you think it's a setback, and yes, you have to grieve and mourn that situation, but then you can come back in a new way if you choose to, right? Like, it may not look like what you thought, but the masterpiece can still be a beautiful picture, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that possibility is what we have to hang on to, and, like, let go of what we thought we wanted to paint, you know, like working with creatives, you know, and just kind of let it be what it is when it gets on the canvas, and right. enjoy that process, enjoy that journey to it becoming something new and hopefully something that we never expected in a better way, you know, but that's hard to kind of sit with when you're in the not nice parts of the journey. So
yeah. And I think that's where like a lot of acceptance comes in as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's this balance of like, yes, I accept what I'm seeing today. I know that there's more and I can feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take the steps to do that. And by the end, that masterpiece, depending on how you think about it, is right. as beautiful as anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure just like people walking through life, right? Like you have these expectations, cultural expectations that you're supposed to do this, that, and whatever by a certain age, a certain way, and all that. And as you work with millennials, what are some of those challenges that they're facing now with like cultural influences, pressures, whatever we want to call them? What are they fighting against?
Well, you know, as we know, social media is a huge trigger for people. They see this curated, like really beautiful version of people that isn't the full picture. And that can make anybody feel inadequate. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely that. There's also the realization that like, okay, I'm no longer super young. I'm not, you know, I'm sort of like, I'm an adult and I should be at X stage. I should have this and that and the other thing. And I see these other people have this and therefore I'm doing something wrong or I'm inadequate. So a lot of like self-confidence and comparison. I think mm-hmm. that's something people struggle with as a millennial. I mean, anytime in life. Right. But
yeah. Yeah. I know. Cause like I've heard different people like, oh, at 40, I just kind of let comparison roll off. And I know, and I'm just like, really?
Sounds great.
I haven't experienced that yet, you know, but it's just like, I think there's always different seasons where it pops up more, mm-hmm. you know, depending. And so it's like, you know, having those tools in place that you can get out of it more quickly, you know, because yeah. it's like to erase it completely, is that realistic? Or is it more just having tools to manage it and to like, okay, I noticed that behavior or I noticed that thought, and then this is what I'm going to do about it to reframe it and make it well, you know, within myself again, kind of thing. So like with yeah. that comparison, like what are some, I don't know, tips, tricks, reframes that you have maybe yourself have found helpful or other clients have found helpful?
I have found it helpful to, first of all, notice your feelings. Like, okay, I'm starting to feel icky or agitated or sad. What's going on? What am mm-hmm. I doing? If I'm scrolling Instagram, I'm like, okay, it's time to get out of here. Let's put this down.
Yep.
And then refocusing on the present and refocusing on myself and my goals can help as well, where it's like, okay, I could go listen to 20 YouTube videos about how to be a good podcast guest, but you know, that's a lot of noise at some point. And it's like, okay, you have to trust that I am good enough. I am worthy and I don't have to be like everybody else.
Yes.
So I don't know if that helps answer that question. I think posing questions to yourself is powerful. Like, what am I doing? What's the scene that's making me feel this way? And then asking also like, how do I want to feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is actually true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah, all that is great. I think that's what it is, right? It's just noticing our thoughts and stopping the behaviors that are not feeding us, you know, in the way mm-hmm. that we want to feel, and change, right? And so change comes with action. And so we need to be willing to take that action for things to get better, for things to feel more peaceful within ourselves, right? And so, yeah. And especially like as we're bringing our visions to life and right, like making a maybe career change or whatever that looks like, right? So many things in our life change all the time. And so like through that transition phase, right? I feel like that's kind of when some of that comparison comes up because it's new, or we're like, we're not there yet because it is new, right? We just don't have the skills yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're still capable right where we are, but we still are growing into who we're becoming. And so what have you found to be helpful during kind of like a transition phase or this new growth phase?
Yeah. I mean, we all go through that through life, and or even when you try anything new, you know, a new sport or a new class. And it's so funny because I think most people want to be excellent immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they get embarrassed when they aren't excellent. And then they see other people who have already put in the time being great, and they wonder if they're even capable of doing that. But they forget that person also didn't start as excellent. So just bringing back that reality check of like, things take time, you know, mm-hmm. think about anything that you know very well or are good at, and how much time really you've put into that over your lifetime. And see, like, just realizing that everybody starts from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And just self-compassion when you mess things up along the way, and a reminder that when you don't mess things up, you don't really learn a lot. So
yeah,
to see any quote mistakes as an opportunity and a sign that you are growing because you're getting more information.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good to remember. One of the girls I tutor, she's, I don't know, like fifth, sixth grade, and she's pretty hard on herself. Like she's a really mm-hmm. good student, and she's like, oh, and then I'll do something. And I was like, just remember, I'm older. I have more years of practice than you, you know, like I was where you were at one time. And so, and I think I tell her, or I say it to her more for me to hear myself, because mm-hmm. it's like, you're on this new journey now. Like, yes, you're kind of starting at a different level just because I do have some years of experience that I can tie into this new one. But it's also like, you're learning a lot of new things that you maybe had in your head that were maybe, oh yeah, that's easy. That's easy. But until you get in it, it's like, whoa, I didn't know that, or yeah. I didn't know it was going to take that and stuff. So I think, yeah, like, I don't know where we got off, like just because we're an adult that we're not learning still, or that it's not, that it's always going to come easy, or I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where that got off track, but I think that's an important thing to remember.
Absolutely. And I think that's beautiful that you remind her that, because I think if I had more people in my life growing up who had said something like that in a, you know, not in a like, I know more than you do, but
right.
like in a very genuine, sincere way that like, you will get there. Mm-hmm. I also struggled. And to bring that back to light in a comforting way, I think can be very helpful for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I like it when like mentors and other coaches or people ahead of me remind me of their beginnings,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just like, yeah, it wasn't always like this, but this is how I got here, mm-hmm. you know, and this is what it took. And it hasn't been a linear journey as well that I hear from most of those, even though I think a lot of what we're sold is that it is a linear journey. Do this, this, and this, and you'll have, you know, X, Y, Z. And instead it's like a, more like a roller coaster and a loop-de-loop as well, that
totally.
This journey is on into bringing things to life that we have a vision mm-hmm. for. And so, I don't know, what have you learned so far on this journey to, you know, building out your coaching practice and just trying something new?
What I have learned, you know, other than what we've already discussed, I'll just start with this. One tool that I like to use that I don't know, I just kind of came up with it myself. I'm sure other people use it. It's not like a novel idea or concept, but I like to think back at the last 5 and 10 years of my life and think about like the significant things that have happened during that time and what I've accomplished over that time. And to just look back and be like, holy crap, like so many things happened, you know, and, you know, so many relationships, you know, I've purchased homes, I've moved, I started new jobs, I started new businesses, like so many things. And then to realize, hey, in the day to day, you felt just like you feel today.
Mm.
So then I think, okay, with all that happened in the last 5 and 10 years, imagine what the heck is going to happen in the next 5 and 10 years. Like, it's incredible. So just to remember, like, yeah, the day to day might feel slow, or you might feel like you're not moving forward. You just don't notice it as much.
Yeah. I love that. I don't think I've done that for a while. So that's a good reminder to look back and be like, okay, these are some bold, brave moves that you took to then also kind of step on and move forward from, because you've already made it through some of those hard times and just fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. It's a good exercise to do.
Yeah. Especially if you think about like heartbreak, like if you had heartbreaks in the last 5 and 10 years, and then to remember like, oh, you remember how horrible you felt? And you don't even think about it today,
right?
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. yeah. And I think that's the nice thing too. It's like, can't even comprehend sometimes, like you said, that little growth. You know, I mean, it's like seeing little kids day to day. You don't see their growth. But then like me as an auntie, I go back and I'm like, oh my goodness, you're so tall now, because there's that time between it. And so I think it is kind of cool to have maybe people in our lives that we're not doing life with on the day to day, but that we see every now and then and can kind of update, and they can be a reflection of like, oh my goodness, that's so much you've been doing, or
yeah,
you know, whatever, kind of in that arena, to get that kind of encouragement and support to keep going.
Absolutely. It's we all need some encouragement and support, and in whatever way it comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So earlier you mentioned working with OCD. So how has that played out, like as you have grown and changed, and as you continue to do this work as a coach, does it show up in different ways, or what does that look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to be careful when I talk about this, because I do not want to minimize therapy and the time that I spent in therapy, because it was absolutely crucial for healing and normalizing what was happening. And I still have OCD. It's kind of, as far as I know, it's a lifelong thing, but I'm so much better at managing it than I was. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a journey with just, there was a lot of hiding that I did as a child and as a teenager, and I would skip social events because I just couldn't even handle myself. I was so distraught at not being able to control my actions. And therapy was very helpful for me just to normalize it, to try some other skills specifically related to that OCD. But then as I went through coaching and started to see how my stories were playing out in my life and self-compassion work, I started to realize, like, repeating that I have OCD and I have this lifelong disorder is not freaking pleasant and helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's not what I want. Like, my coach would always ask this question, like, what are you telling yourself? Do you want more of that?
That's a good one.
And I'm like, no, I do not want more of this. So she's like, okay, what do you want to say instead? So I would repeat the opposite of my compulsion, as if it were true. And while I still accept that I have OCD and I have moments where I relapse, I'm quicker to get out of it and tell a new story and not get too sucked into it and sucked into the depression about it. So I think, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does.
It's such a complicated topic, but.
It is. Yeah. And I think because most people have their, you know, something we're walking through and holding and, you know, dealing with kind of thing. But I like how you shared that question, because I think that's an awesome question to keep in mind. And like you said earlier, just asking yourself questions to be more aware of where you are, like in your headspace, or what things in your environment aren't supporting the life that you actually want to live. And then, you know, taking that action to really sit with it. And it can be very uncomfortable if this is new to you, you know, when you're trying to face some stuff finally that's been unearthed and you're like, oh, yeah, I can't just be on default anymore because I don't like how that's showing up in my life, especially when it's not supporting where I'm going. And so, yeah, I think that was like a helpful answer.
And you asked me how that relates to my coaching, I think. So one thing I'll say is, like, yeah, the questions are so helpful. And if you can remember to ask yourself those questions in the moment, great. I don't know if I remember because I have done this coaching work, so I can sort of coach myself. But if somebody hasn't done coaching before, it can be very helpful to have somebody who can consistently remind you and ask you questions, because it is hard to come up with these questions in the moment when you're in the depth of your despair. Like,
yeah,
I've had a lot of practice and with the coaching knowledge that I have to be able to handle it better. But for somebody just starting out, getting a coach can be an excellent resource and tool.
Yeah. Definitely with that investment in yourself, even like with your therapy work or with a coach, or like people go to get a personal trainer at the gym or whatever that looks like, right? It's like taking that first step to get that support that you need to help you through a change. Because I know when I first started my coaching practice, like, I can do it on my own, right? Because I'm a creative person. I like to DIY. There's so much out there that's free. But until I got into community with other people, or, you know, with another coach kind of mentoring along the way, I feel like that's where I've seen more significant changes Not like it's been perfect the whole way, right? Like you still sure. have your ups and downs, but it's yes. still like moving me forward in a more positive way rather than me just sitting and spinning in circles by myself. And so I think, yeah, getting support, you know, and if that is professional help or just, you know, getting honest with a friend, whatever that looks like, just to have somebody else standing there supporting you through it is huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I like that you took those steps. I think you sharing that will offer some hope to somebody that might be sitting in something that they no longer want to and are ready to take that small step of action that can then lead to yeah. a whole different way of living. So
I hope so, because there is so much, there really is so much possibility. And that's the one thing I just want people to know is like, whatever you're going through, just know you can make it. You're going to mm-hmm. be okay. You, yeah. you got this.
yeah, yeah, for sure.
It may be yeah. a lesson and you may have to learn it over and over and over again in your lifetime, but you're going to keep getting better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, right? We lift weights to get our muscles stronger and same yes. thing with the mental game. So that's good. As we kind of close up, is there anything that you want to share as far as like how you support your clients and what that process looks like when they come to you?
Sure. Yeah. I do one-on-one coaching exclusively at this point. I don't have any groups, but I like to support people one-on-one. And like I said, I help socially conscious millennials curate an ideal version of themselves so they don't settle for a mediocre life and realize that there is abundance to be had in their finances and their love life and their craft. So if anyone is interested in that, I have a website. I'm also on Instagram at Anita the Coach.
Nice. So when you say socially conscious, what mm-hmm. does that mean to you? I'm so curious.
So as a millennial, I know that that word can be triggering because I'll tell this very quickly, but I used to work in a real estate office and I was the youngest person there. I got my real estate license when I was 18. And the average age of realtors is about 50. And so everybody looked at me like I was just, you know, Bambi, like, and just kind of like rolled their eyes at me, you know, like, oh, geez, these millennials, you know, like, and I feel like it has been used as a sort of derogatory term, mm-hmm. at least yeah. while I was kind of going into adulthood. Mm-hmm. And so I really did not want to use that term in my marketing, but socially conscious means like, yeah, I might be a millennial, but I'm not one of these asshole millennials. You know, I care about things. I can be a decent person. And that's who I want to work with, is people who care about the environment, who care about animals. You know, they have a lot of empathy. Mm-hmm. And I also want them to know that you deserve more, even if you care about other causes and things. You know, it's not one or the other. You can have a wonderful life and have abundance and care about the planet and animals and other humans. Mm-hmm. So that's a kind of roundabout way of saying, like, I want to help people who have feelings and who are showing up in the world as genuine and authentic and care about different causes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Cause like you said, it was kind of like that thing, a more, I don't know, self-absorbed kind of mm-hmm. in a derogatory way, but it's like, no, that's, not everybody, and that's probably not the majority. It's just for some reason caught on and was the lingo that isn't true. So
yeah, awesome. I think maybe every generation before kind of looks down on the generation after them. So
yeah, change, right? Things change over time. And so it's just getting used to something different. So
right.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, I hope that people will find you on Instagram and connect with you there. And I'll put that link in the show notes so that people can easily find your account and your website. So thank you so much for having a chat with me and sharing your journey and everything that you're working on. And I'm just excited to see, you know, what the future holds with everything.
Me too. I really am. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I just can't wait to see.
Yep. 5-10 years looking back. It'll be amazing. So
yeah.
All right. Well, very good.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks. If you found this episode to be helpful, please feel free to share it. And if you'd like to leave a rating and a review, I'd appreciate that. If you'd like to connect, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Creative Purpose. If you have any specific questions you'd like me to talk on, you can leave them in my DMs.